All right, this is called Riders on the Storm, take 9.
Hey, that's a good idea. Thunder. That'd be good at the beginning. You could do it with cymbal. We'll send out to Arizona for some good thunder.
All right, Riders on the Storm, take 10. Mark that one.
This week in the studio, the magic of rock and roll reunites the legend Jim Morrison with the late Doors co-founder Ray Manzarek for the anniversary of L.A. Woman.
I want to tell you about Texas radio and the Big Beat. Don't you love her madly? Don't you need her badly? Don't you love her ways? Tell me what you say.
Like a dog without a bone, an actor out on loan, Riders on the Storm.
His life was like a meteor. He just shot through the heavens and made this incredibly bright light, and we all danced and had a grand time with him and danced to the music and songs of the Doors, and now he's part of history. He's a great American poet, and he belongs to the ages. Hi, this is Ray Manzarek of the Doors, in the studio for L.A. Woman.
The life and death of Jim Morrison have long since passed into the shadowy realm of legend and rock myth. It's unlikely that we'll ever really know what happened to Jim Morrison in Paris in the summer of 1971. The only person who was actually with him when he died was his wife, Pamela, and 3 years later, she died too, the victim of a heroin overdose. But years after his death, the music of Jim Morrison and the Doors continues to fascinate. Considering their lasting impact, it's hard to believe that when Morrison was alive, the Doors recorded only 6 studio albums. That's a total of 64 songs. Their entire recorded career spanned barely 4.5 years. That's amazing. It was the winter of 1970 when the Doors began recording L.A. Woman, the album that would be Morrison's last. By then, he was a far cry from the rock and roll god that had burst upon the scene in 1967. Morrison's face was hidden behind a shaggy beard. His once stunning body had turned bloated. Some people said he'd done it on purpose, that he'd made himself ugly, because Jim Morrison didn't want to be a rock star anymore. It was February 1971 when the Doors finished recording L.A. Woman. The late Ray Manzarek, who'd put together the band with Jim just 5 years before, set the table for us in the studio.
It was our final record on the contract. Miami had gone down. The Narcs were on one side of the stage on our concerts. The Vice Squad was on the other side waiting for obscenities. And we played through some awful, awful gigs in which there was an obscenity clause in our contracts. If Jim had said any obscene word, the bookers didn't have to pay the Doors. Our gig would have been for free. They could have shut us down. We had been banned across America after Miami, 20-city tour. We had lined up a 20-city tour, our first big tour. Miami happened, and we got canceled out of every city that we had booked. St. Louis, Cleveland, Atlanta, you name it, and we were banned from those cities. Do not bring the Doors into a municipal facility in this city. So we had, actually, it worked out well, because we had a little free time. So we could go back into, okay, well, what are we going to do? Well, let's write some songs. Let's get back to writing songs. That's what we do. And we started writing and writing, and the songs just got better and better and stronger and harder. So out of that enforced hiatus came L.A. Woman.
Like she did one.
Badly was another in an impressive string of top 40 hits by The Doors coming off of the L.A. Woman album. There had always been a dark side to Jim Morrison's personality, an almost desperate need to see how close he could get to the edge. And success, it seems, only intensified that need. In September of 1970, Jim Morrison was charged with exposing himself during a Miami concert in 1969. Many people, including Ray Manzarek and Robbie Krieger to this day, dispute the charge. But in the end, it didn't matter. The publicity and the trial, the notoriety had left a cloud over The Doors as they and producer Paul Rothschild started working on the L.A. Woman sessions. Again, here's Ray Manzarek.
Our contract was finished with Elektra. We could renegotiate with Elektra, sign up with Elektra, go to another recording company, break the band up, keep the band going. The future was open. It was, you know, the future's uncertain and the end is always near. And we went into the recording studio with Paul. Paul was going to be the producer again. We went back to Sunset Sound and he said, play me the songs. So we played them in the recording studio, went through all the songs. And we played them very badly. There was something about being in Sunset Sound. It was just, it was a drain. It was like, oh, God, no, something's wrong here. And we played the song so badly. And Paul came out after about an hour and a half. And he said, listen, guys, there's nothing I can do here. I mean, I was sitting in that control room listening to the songs. And I had my head on the console. I mean, I was just bored, man. I was bored. You guys, the energy is not here. I don't understand. But maybe you ought to produce it yourselves. And Paul walked out, and we went, Paul's walking out? And Bruce Botnick said, hey, I got an idea. I'll produce with you guys. Let's co-produce it. Said, yeah. Well, where can we record it? I don't want to record here. Nobody wanted to record at Sunset. And then Jim said, can we record at our rehearsal studio? I said, at the rehearsal studio? I said, yeah, we know the sound. I mean, the sound of the room, that's the room we do everything in. Bruce Botnick said, we can record right there. I'll bring a mobile facility. I'll bring the board from Sunset Sound that they've just replaced, the old board, set it up upstairs. I'll run some power and the mics downstairs to into the rehearsal room. We'll record right there. And we all said, yeah, we'll do it ourselves. We'll do it right at our rehearsal studio, The Doors Workshop, and let's go. And a week later, man, we were into doing L.A. Woman, and it just came out smoking. It was just like just the charge, just a shot in the arm that we needed to really get ourselves a real kick in the butt.
Thank you.
just like the spider on the wall. Whoa. We gon' crawl.
One more.
The Doors' groove on John Lee Hooker's Crawling Kingsnake from L.A. Woman. Jim Morrison's father was an admiral in the U.S. Navy, and Jim spent most of his childhood on bases in Florida and Virginia. Ray Manzarek thinks it was during those years that Morrison got the inspiration for a song that they called The Wasp, the song about Texas radio and the big beat.
When Jim was growing up, and I would even get it in Chicago, there was a border radio, and I think it was even Wolfman Jack, might have been on the other side of the border there, sending out with some kind of huge power signal, blasting all the way up into the Midwest, and then all the way over to Florida, where Jim was, Florida and Alexandria, Virginia. And I don't know when it would come on. It must have been after midnight or something, when there was a lot freer radio thing. It was like pirate radio, and this rock and roll would come blasting out of, with this guy talking. And you'd hear the strangest, weirdest rock and roll that you'd never hear on AM radio. And he grew up with that, and I grew up with that, too. So that's, to us, that's what Texas radio was. Texas radio was that border radio, that dangerous, and Texas is a very dangerous state. It's got a lot of renegades down there, and that's what it was. It was like, we always thought of Texas as sort of hard rock and renegade kind of rebel state, and just, you know, really ballsy people and foxy chicks, man, and you know, and having gone to Texas, that was correct.
I want to tell you about Texas radio and the big beat. Comes out of the Virginia swamps, cool and slow, with plenty of precision, and a backbeat narrow and hard to master. Some call it heavenly in its brilliance, others mean and rueful of the Western dream. I love the friends I have gathered together in this thin raft. We have constructed pyramids in honor of our escaping. This is the land where the Pharaoh died. Negroes in the forest, brightly feathered, they are saying, forget the night, live with us in forests of azure. Out here in the perimeter, there are no stars. Out here, we is stone, immaculate. Now listen to this, I'll tell you about the heartache. I'll tell you about the heartache and the loss of God. I'll tell you about the hopeless night. About the maiden with wrought iron soul. I tell you this, no eternal.
Hot Texas Radio and a big beat. Soft, driven, slow and mad like some new language.
WASP, Texas Radio, and the Big Beat by The Doors from L.A. Woman. Coming up next, the late Ray Manzarek tells us about the libertine spirit of The Doors' Jim Morrison. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and online at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio with the late Ray Manzarek on the anniversary of The Doors' L.A. Woman.
Hi, this is Ray Manzarek of The Doors, in the studio for L.A. Woman.
And I'm Redbeard. Maybe Jim Morrison was rebelling against the military upbringing, but by the time he met Ray Manzarek at the UCLA Film School in 1965, Jim Morrison didn't seem anything like an admiral's son. Ray Manzarek remembers that from the moment that Ray met Jim, he thought Morrison had the most adventurous soul of anyone he'd ever known.
Well, he certainly was special. He was a unique person on the planet. The freedom man, a man who had shaken loose all the pre-imposed boundaries of school, of politics, of religion, and had just broken through to the other side and was staying there and was out there. He was Dionysian frenzy. He was the essence of freedom. Ultimately, unfortunately, I suppose that freedom ultimately destroyed him, because he wasn't able to put a check on it, to put a check on his desires. You know, he had given in so completely and totally to his desires and to the quest for freedom that had he not been a rock and roller, he would have been able to live a long life. But rock and roll is, people are always giving you something. There's always drugs. There's always booze. There's always just, it's too licentious of a life for a man who's so into freedom as Jim Morrison was, and ultimately it destroyed him. He couldn't say no. That's what he couldn't say. He said yes to life, and he said yes to anything that was offered to him. He just took it all. He tried everything, tried anything, and ultimately that was his demise. Because that stuff is, even booze, and that's probably the worst one of all, it's addictive. It's addictive. Cocaine is addictive. Heroin is addictive. Booze is addictive. Those things, a drink occasionally, a glass of wine with a meal is one thing, but hard drinking is just as addictive as heroin and just as destructive. And in the end, the booze did him in.
Well, I've been down so goddamn long that it looks like a Well, I've been down so very damn long that it looks like up to me. Mm-hmm.
So long, Jim Morrison, The Doors, from L.A. Woman. Morrison's self-destruction was pretty much well underway by the time that Jim started work on the L.A. Woman album, and you can even hear some of his torment in the album's title cut.
That's the title song of the album. L.A. Woman is about Jim's love for Los Angeles and his Los Angeles as a woman. If they say I never loved you, you know they are a liar. Hair is burning. You're on fire. It's all about L.A. L.A. and a woman at the same time. Great driving song. L.A. Woman is a kind of song that you should hear on the freeway. Anytime you got to drive somewhere, man, when I hit the freeway and I happen to hear L.A. Woman on the radio, those 7 minutes go by like 30 seconds, man. I am just gone and transported. There is nothing like driving on the freeway to L.A. Woman.
Thank you. filled with fire. If they say I never loved you, you know they are a liar. Driving down your freeway, midnight alleys roam. Cops in cars, the topless bars, never saw a woman.
Title song from L.A. Woman and the Doors. And in case you didn't realize it, Jim Morrison rearranged the letters in his own name to create that anagram of Mr. Mojo Rising. When we return, we'll hear the last song that Jim Morrison ever recorded with the Doors, Riders on the Storm. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and online 24/7, inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio with the late Ray Manzarek on the 50th anniversary of The Doors' L.A. Woman.
Hi, this is Ray Manzarek of The Doors in the City of Light.
And you're in the studio for L.A. Woman.
That was Ray Manzarek, co-founder of The Doors and keeper of the band's legacy for almost a half century. Ray died in May 2013, but I'm so thankful that before he passed, Manzarek made sure to share this oral history of The Doors with us in the studio. He told us about Jim Morrison's lyrics and clues to how Morrison saw himself. That shows itself in a song called The Changeling from the L.A. Woman album. Here again is Ray Manzarek.
A changeling is Indian. It's American Indian. It's a person who's able to change shape. The shapeshifter. The movie Wolfen is about shapeshifting, and you can certain Indian shaman and medicine men can change themselves into various creatures, or so it's said. I live uptown. I live downtown. I live all around, but I've never been so broke that I couldn't leave town. Morrison is a kind of guy who would always be moving on. He moved on all his life, and even at the end, he moved off to Paris. So his life was one of being on the road. Jim always said the Doors songs are about love, death, and travel. And that's what The Changeling is, traveling on, moving on. And musically, The Changeling is based on Ride Your Pony. Ride your pony, get on your pony, and da-da-da.
Thank you.
from the L.A. Woman album, that's The Changeling by The Doors. As the sessions to L.A. Woman were winding down, it was pretty clear that Morrison needed to take a break from The Doors and the music business. After he had laid down his final tracks, Ray Manzarek remembers Jim Morrison's mood.
Jim obviously needed to get away. I mean, if there's one thing he needed to do, it was to get away from rock and roll for a while and just to clean out, man, and just get back in touch with who he was when we first put the band together. That the guy who was a poet on the rooftop walking down the beach in Venice, that was the real Jim Morrison. Jim Morrison, superstar. Jim Morrison, the Lizard King. Jim Morrison, the king of orgasmic rock. That wasn't Jim Morrison. That was made up by, by the media, made up by the press. It was great titles to hang on him, and then he started living up to those titles. He just needed to get away. He had to get away from all of that and said, listen, I'm going to go to Paris for a while. And he just wanted to get away, to get to Paris, to write, to be an artist again. And I said, Paris? Perfect, man. What better place? An American in Paris. Hemingway, F. Scott Fitzgerald, all the Americans who went to Paris, all the jazz musicians who went to Paris in the 50s. That's the perfect place. Go and recharge your artistic batteries, man. Forget about being Jim Morrison rock star. You're not. You're Jim Morrison poet. Go and write. I said, what are you going to do? He said, I want to write some poetry. And he said, I've been taking notes while I was in Miami. And he said, I've been thinking about writing a book. I said, really? A book about what? He said, well, sort of like observations of America while on trial for obscenity in Miami. And I thought, that's fabulous, man. I can't wait to read that. Go, write, get started, just enjoy yourself, stay there as long as you want. 3 months, 6 months, a year, it doesn't matter, man. Just go. Everything is fine. We'll take care of things here. We'll finish up the album. We had 2 songs left to mix. We'll get everything all taken care of, get the record out. Don't worry about anything. You just get out of here and just go. And he said, okay, man, I'll see you around sometime. And that's the last I saw of Jim Morrison.
Jim Morrison and Pamela left for Paris in March of 1971. It was early July when Ray Manzarek got a troubling phone call.
I was at home. It was a breakfast table in Los Angeles, and I got a call from a guy who was acting as our manager at the time, and he said, I just got a call from Paris. Jim is dead. And I said, Jim is what? He said, yeah. I said, well, you know, I mean, we'd heard these stories before. You know, it's like Paul is dead was going around. Jim is dead. Yeah, Jim's dead. We're at a party, and somebody comes running in and says, hey, I just heard Jim Morrison was killed in an automobile accident. 10 minutes later, Jim walks in and said, hey, I thought you were dead. I said, nope, pinched himself. Nope, I don't think so, man. I think those reports of my death are greatly exaggerated. And, you know, so it was not the first time things like that had been said. And that was kind of going around anyway, as I said with Paul McCartney, Paul is dead. And so, Jim's dead. Well, you know, I don't believe it personally. And this guy said, no, I think it's serious. I said, well, you know, I'm not about to fly to Paris to check out a rumor that Jim is dead. You know, that's ridiculous. He said, I got a flight. He said, never mind, you don't have to go. I'm going to take care of it. I got a flight booked. It was about 10 o'clock. He said, I got the 12 o'clock flight out of Los Angeles to Paris. I said, well, fine, you know, go ahead, man, and check it out. He said, I think it's serious. I said, well, look, man, just be sure, huh? So I get this call about 3 days later, and it's the same guy, Bill, and he says, well, we buried Jim this morning. And I said, what? He said, yeah, we buried him. I said, he's dead? He said, yeah. I said, well, you know, what happened? He said, well, I don't know. The death certificate's all in French. I don't know what happened. I said, well, how did he look? He said, I don't know. I said, what do you mean you don't know? How did he look? I mean, he said, I don't know. I never saw the body. I said, what? You didn't see the body? He said, no, and I got to the hotel room, Pam was all broken up, and there was a sealed coffin. I said, you're telling me that you put a sealed coffin in the ground, you never saw the body, you never saw Jim Morrison dead? He said, no, but I mean, he's in there, I know he's in there. I said, well, how do you know he's in there? He said, well, you know, I know, I mean, Pam was all broken up, and we buried the body this morning, we buried the coffin. I said, you buried a coffin this morning, you never saw Jim Morrison dead? He said, no, never saw. I said, well, I don't know what to say, man. I don't know what to say. And that's all I know. French certificate, death certificate, all in French, which has since disappeared. No one knows where the death certificate is. And that death certificate evidently said his heart stopped. It didn't say heart attack. That's not right. That's not medical. I mean, you know, how did he die? His heart stopped.
Well, yeah, everyone's heart stops when they die. What caused the heart to stop? And there was nothing. So that's all I know. As far as I know, you know, Jim Morrison is buried in Père Lachaise Cemetery. Probably is buried in Père Lachaise Cemetery, but nonetheless, that's a mysterious circle of events that put that coffin into the ground.
Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm. Into this house we're born. Into this world we're thrown. Like a dog without a bone, an actor out alone. Riders on the storm. There's a killer on the road. His brain is squirming like a toad. Take a long holiday. Let your children play. If you give this man a ride, sweet family will die. Killer on the road. Yeah. Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm. Into this house we're born. Into this world we're thrown. Like a dog without a bone.
storm.
July 3rd, there's a huge celebration, and people from all over the world come to the cemetery to, I was there on July 3rd, and, you know, there were kids from everywhere, and we were getting drunk, toasting Jim, pouring wine on the grave for Jim, playing Doors songs, singing and dancing. We stayed there for about 4 or 5 hours, left when it was sundown and the party was still going on. It just kept every year it just gets bigger and bigger. People are making pilgrimages to Jim's grave in Paris. So in that, it's great. It's the perfect place for Jim to be buried. It couldn't have been better. His life was like a meteor. He just shot through the heavens and made this incredibly bright light. And we all danced and had a grand time with him and danced to the music and songs of the Doors. And now he's part of history. He's a great American poet, and he belongs to the ages.
Riders on the Storm, the last song that Jim Morrison ever recorded with the Doors. Rolling Stone magazine ranks the L.A. Woman album at number 358 on their top 500 albums of all time. I'm Redbeard. I'll be back in the studio after this. This is Redbeard in the studio, dedicating this edition of In the Studio to Jim Morrison and to the late Ray Manzarek. God rest their soul. In the Studio is written and produced by yours truly, Redbeard, for Bearded Fish Productions. Copyright 2016. All rights reserved. Transcription by Jane Carpenter Brune. Theme song by Andy Timmons. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and online at inthestudio.net.